Thank you, and good morning. Yeah, the job description, I guess, would be I'm the shop manager there in the garage in New Tribes. Thank you for those of you that had remembered to pray, and those of you that give and make it possible for us to live and rent and be able to work like that. There was a thought that came through with these lessons with the life of David, and Nelson kind of read the overview there from Solomon, and how that when David was running from Absalom, he was saying to the one person there, if it pleased the Lord that I would come back to this place to worship. And that word please came out in that reading that our brother had there. And before we get into our message, let's commit ourselves to the Lord. Well, Father God, we thank you for your word. You know our weakness. You know our helplessness. And we just thank you. You rescued us. You redeemed us. There's great cost involved. And Father, we just feel inadequate to be here even on the platform. To pray your strengthening by your Holy Spirit. Guide the words, Father, from your word. So just pray you calm my heart. Pray, too, for the blessing of your word to all around the world this day. Those many, many out there. So just look to you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the pillars in life, going years back, was a funeral at Wallenstein. We attended Wallenstein for a little bit, and one of the older men passed away, and he's a real pillar in the community there. Last week, our brother Willie spoke in the evening and how to renew our love for Christ. And that is such a basis to our life as a believer. And in thinking over and going over these thoughts on David, it was like going through the life of David. He wanted that ark in Jerusalem. The first time he did it the way he thought it should be done, and then a mishap happened there. That man, I think it was Uzzah, reached in, tried to settle this cart, the ark on the cart, and it wasn't supposed to be carried on a cart. Well, he found out, and that was difficult. But his bringing the ark to Jerusalem just struck me. He was dancing like crazy. He wasn't ashamed. And he got rebuffed for it later on. But this was a highlight, a climax in his life that I was seeing as a, boy, there's a real delight here in bringing that ark. Well, coming back to what is the motive in my life, in our lives? And the one that I was thinking on this morning was to be pleasing to the Lord. And we have five children. And it's such a joy and pleasure when our children respond to us as parents. They're trying to please dad and mom. And there was times that the children, they came, it's just such a beauty to have a family that each of the children are trying to please dad and mom. They're doing it out of obedience. And we can apply that to our own lives in the Lord. Going back to motive, there are different pillars that we can establish our life on. And it can be money. It can be something, materialism in the world. It can be status. What are we putting as our pillar? What am I putting as my motive? And we have the Bible here. And this past week I had the nursing home service. And there's written on my Bible, Holy Bible. And sometimes these terms just become a blur. What does holy mean? Set apart. Sanctified. What is Bible? Well, these are translated words from way, way back in Egypt, comes down to writings, holy writings then, parchments. They were first written, I understand, on pieces of papyrus. And that's where the word came from. Well, we have this special, special book written over 1600 years and by almost maybe 40 authors. It's the oldest book that the world has that's selling en masse, even last year yet. It's the number one world seller. Do we realize what we have in our hands? Do we have any understanding? Do I have any understanding of the God of this Bible? And we can. We can have a personal, moment-to-moment relationship with him. So if God is the Lord, owner, maker of the world, and my master, there is none like him. And we have this little story in Exodus of Moses meeting up with this great I am, the one we sang about, the unchangeable I am. It says Moses in Exodus 3, we'll turn there. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Mere Moses had an incredible revelation, I am that I am. And I can't even grasp that word Jehovah, the self-existent one, the one that was, that is, and evermore shall be. And we know who that is. Do we have any understanding or regard of God and his word? Do I have any respect of this book? And I would want to say it was that that drove us, or that led us to go to Indonesia to see that these people, these are black people like the Papuans, they've heard the white man has the God talk, and they're waiting for someone to come and tell them. And praise the Lord, there is people there. And thank you too again for for being able to stand us for those number of years. Moses, he came to realize Jehovah, the self-existent one. There was no sustenance needed for Jehovah. That's in his name. I am the one that I am. And then we read in the New Testament how Jesus said, I am. And that goes on. There's seven I ams there in John. So going back to these Bible studies we've had on David and how that that was in chapter 2 Samuel 15, 24. Now behold, Zadok also came and all the Levites with him carrying the ark of God. This is when they're fleeing from Absalom. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar came up until the people had finished passing from the city. The king said to Zadok, return the ark of God to the city. Here's what David said. If I find favor in the sight of the Lord, then he will bring me back again and show me both it and his habitation. And the Lord fulfilled that word, just like he did with Moses there. What happened? In time, the children of Israel came to that mountain. Here was David's heart that if I find the favor in the sight of the Lord. And this word favor could be pleasure. And in studying the words out of the Genesis there, you can look up them in Strong's Concordance. And it struck me, the Garden of Eden is the garden of pleasure. And that's amazing. Garden of Utopia. That's what God made for man. And what does man go around, turn around, do? He displeases the Lord God there in the garden. And you and I, we're no different. And that word Eden, I think, is only twice in the Old Testament that I know of. Once in the capital as a place, Garden of Eden. And also in a small story. That was that Sarah referenced that she would have a child. Reminds me of a speaker that spoke a while ago about Ruth, I think it was, how that she, Naomi says, you go home back to your people and that you may find some rest or fulfillment. So here's this meaning, fulfillment, rest, pleasure, pleasing. How can we be pleasing to the Lord? And it comes from the heart, back to when Samuel anointed David. 1 Samuel 16, 7, I have a reference. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. And that was when Jesse had brought his sons before Samuel, and Eli was there. This is what the Lord said. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for the Lord looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And we read in Acts how that David was a man after God's own heart. And if we read through the offerings in Leviticus chapter 1, I would just highlight, or I've highlighted in chapter 1, how these offerings are to be brought by the priests. And if you read the last phrase, verse 9, an offering of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And again, verse 13, and he shall wash the inwards, the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And again, the last phrase of 17, verse 17 of chapter 1. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And here we have this three times. Abel, doing a study back a year or so, spoke on Abel, how that his offering was pleasing to the Lord. God accepted his offering. And why? Well, there was blood. There's blood. Cain brought his, the best of the best. it says of the fruit of the land, well, the fruit of the land, the ground was cursed. Cain was doing rebellion right there. He knew the right way to please God, and he was, I'm going to do my own thing. And he tried. And it ended up in murder. And why did it end up murder? Well, he had lost that. God had made a promise. There was a seed going to come. And that seed was passed on to Abel then, when that offering was refused. Well, Cain thought, I'll fix that. I'll murder him. And he did. Well, then we read in verse 25 of chapter 4 of Genesis how that seed went on to Seth. And it's a whole opposite line of Seth and Cain. So we read also of Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Favor. He found he was pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. Just God even talked and communed with Noah. We don't read of anybody in that time, in that section. Noah was the only one in that day that was recorded of that communed with God. And then we get further on, the Lord Jesus. And I want to turn to Psalm 40. There's nothing I can do to please God in my flesh. And I've tried. And I would say 99% of the world tries. Islam tries. The Buddhists try. I talked to a Buddhist fellow this past week. Oh, man, what a strange... If they live good enough, they'll maybe come back as a good animal. If a bad one, they'll be a rat or something nasty. Isaiah 40. And we'll start in there at Psalm 40, I mean. Sorry. Verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And here the Lord Jesus is the only one that I delight to do thy will. And it was his pleasure. The Lord just striving, Lord Jesus, his life on earth here, to please God the Father. And the basis of that is obedience. And to me, that's a real lesson. We sing, trust and obey. There's no other way. Well, how can we delight to do God's will? It's beautiful when a child is, they learn the difference between right and wrong and then do the right thing. But they're doing it grudgingly. I wouldn't do that. But they do it anyway because they know there's going to be punishment if they don't. What a joy when there's a child just delighting to. They're not just staying out of the cookie tin or candy box because, but that's dad and mom, and I want to please dad and mom. My question is, how do we appropriate this? It's so easy to say, die to self. And Christ did it. Well, we're living in a battle, as it were. There's many times, and Scripture goes into Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And there was a realization in my life that I was trying to do it in my strength, trying to please the Lord. And I've shared before Hebrews 11:6, it without faith, it is impossible to please God. But that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And possibly at the time, I was trying to seek how to please God and doing it out of the flesh. Well, come to realize in the flesh, all my good works are as filthy rags. But God provided a way, and that was, look to his son. We read of that the Israelites, having been bitten by that snake, look and live. We have that song that comes out of that story. God provided a way. Look to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Put my faith in him alone. And then the works that come out of my life come out of his strength, out of dying to self for him. The flesh doesn't look pretty. This flesh looks out for me, myself, and I. And we live in that world every day. And it comes out of us. It just rubs off on us. So how do I get this fragrance to come out of me? And Paul, he discovered that. Another reference here in Scripture from 2 Corinthians. And, oh, I missed the point on how did the Lord Jesus evidence of that? Well, when he was baptized, we have when Jesus came up out of the water, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That's Matthew 3:17. And also again in the Mount Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That picture there of Moses and Elijah communing with the Lord Jesus and the disciples seeing James, Peter, James, and John. Wow. Can we make some tabernacles here? And then hearing that voice. And then the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Solid, total proof of God taking pleasure in that blood sacrifice on the cross. Jesus is alive today, yesterday, and forevermore. All right. 2 Corinthians was a reading in our Daily Bread this week. I don't know how many follow that, but we try to keep up with that. And it's a daily, I think it was Friday. 2 Corinthians 2. Paul says, "I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia." Here it is here. "Now thanks be unto God, which also causes us to triumph in Christ." There's that battle. Triumph in Christ. "And maketh manifest the savor," that's the odor, the aroma, "of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish." So we are an aroma both to both types of people. "To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Here I've always idolized Paul as that saint that didn't have that struggle. And Paul's asking here, who is sufficient for these things? We are not at all sufficient. I cannot do anything. You and I cannot do anything of our own strength. "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God. In the sight of God speak we in Christ." And that's the key right there. Who is sufficient for these things? So in the flesh, all our works are filthy rags. Just how can we make that aroma come out? So once we have put our trust in the Lord, Philippians, we can be doing things. Well, one of the things that Philippians has that thought of aroma coming out, and many of you know that, Philippians 4. Paul's talking about gifts, and we'll go start in at 13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So once we have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we start basing our life on living for him, as it were, dying to self. And ironically, yesterday I went to a funeral. It was rather sad. And I found out this week was Thursday, is the day of mourning, National Day of Mourning. There was a few moments of silence in at Parliament in the buildings in Ottawa. The government buildings had their flags flown at half mast. And that was to remember those that have died in the workplace, in to remember that, is there something we can do to better make the workplace a safer place? And at this funeral, it was a celebration of life. And that was, it was a sad in the sense of, what did this man know of the Lord? And it would seem like it wasn't much evidence of the Lord in his life. And yet, talking with his father, there was a ray of hope. Oh, this man's a believer. So I was just rejoicing in, and he was taking a day at a time. And then last night, there was a celebration for Jeremy and Melissa Swan at WEC. And they have graduated. And they're dying, as it were, to their self-ambition of life and hoping, planning on going to the mission field somewhere, Lord willing. So this key of dying, this key of surrendering to self. We also have this thought of pleasing in our marriage. I'd like to read a passage in 1 Corinthians 7. We don't talk about this very much too often. But it's a real key in marriage. And I understand if you read the love language, Gary Chapman's book, Five Love Languages, and there's another one, Fall in Love, Stay in Love. There's possibly 10 areas that we can strive to key in, and don't worry about all 10. Key on the two that are most important love languages to your spouse. So to walk in love, to be pleasing each other. Verse 33, 1 Corinthians 7, we'll start back at 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So it's a two-way thing in marriage, both ways, to be this effort of trying to please each other. And then I want to look a bit at the opposite side of the flesh. And for that, I'd like to turn to 1 John 2. And as we read in the Garden of Eden, how that it was read this morning, that that tree looked very appealing. And that stood out again this morning in the remembrance. The woman saw that that tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. A tree to be desired to make one wise. Oh, how deceptive that can be. She took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And the point there is how that in the flesh they tried to cover themselves of leaves. And that was God used skins. God shed blood of a lamb or sheep or cattle and put skins on. And that is a correlation with, to me, 1 John 2. Love not the world, verse 15. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. These are the things we struggle against in the flesh. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So let's just pinpoint here the lust of the flesh. Oh, that fruit looked good, that it would be helpful for my body to take sustenance of that. And then the lust of the eyes. It must have been appealing as well. We read that those plants, the trees in Genesis there, were also for our vision, visual purpose. And we have plants, we grow in gardens. We just got started in the gardening. Diane does the gardening there at New Tribes. And it's just getting started. And to grow a flower bed, and they each have their season. And it can just, take a stop for a moment and enjoy the beauty of flowers. I think it must be something about Dutch, but there's something to be said for having everything nice and orderly in a flower bed and no weeds, and it's just immaculately, and it's beautiful. Well, that was an appealing thing, and we need to watch in our lives things that are appealing. And for a man, it may be a woman, or it may be a prize of cash or of something we set before us, as a carrot is held in front of a rabbit, or a rabbit is held in front of a dog, greyhound. They've got that's made to allure us, to distract us from our focus, our pillar that we want to set our life on. In the shop, I find people come in and ask for consultation. Oh, this is what's wrong with my vehicle. And I don't get much into personal vehicles. I would be busy 24/7 trying to keep up with 100 people's cars in brakes and tires. And this, there'd be no end to. But if I'm into a job and I'm torquing bolts, and there's, say, 20 bolts, and they follow a pattern, and I've memorized that pattern, and I'm into, out of the 24, I'm into 12. And someone comes into the shop, says, Bert, are you here? And I'll say, I can't be interrupted now. Sorry, just hold on. Let me finish torquing. There are certain times in the shop that I cannot run, go answer the phone. I feel bad that I'm being rude to whoever's trying to call, but I'm not answering. I'm into the middle of something. And that's, to me, the focus that I need to have in trying to please the Lord, in getting into the Word, spending, to me, this is a big point in my life, spending that time in prayer for each other, for the families here. And as one of the letters said, Fridays, I pray for those folks. I thought, that is so neat, for the folks that provide for, it was Tim Horn, I think. Wow. What are the things you know in your life that are maybe slipping through the cracks that need to have that focus on? So love not the things of the world, it says here. Things of the flesh, things of the eyes, back, and the pride of life. He thought, that will make me wise. We each have something in our lives that would distract us from our focus in the Lord. And there are other verses too. The fear of man brings a snare. And the thought there was, sometimes we want to be a crowd pleaser. Or we don't give in to the peer pressure and everyone's having a beer and they're all getting drunk, and do I give in to that? And I'll let you cross that. Normally, it's, to me, your personal call, but abstinence is the way to go, and the snare of alcohol is such a horrible, terrible thing, and yet Scripture doesn't condemn it, but condones. It can be a medicinal therapy that way. So we need not have the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So even though you get mocked, or I got mocked in the mechanic shop for standing up for the Lord, oh, Bert, you're kneeling at the tractor again. Are you praying? Yeah. And sometimes I just jib them and say, I'm praying for you. And they'd stop teasing me. We can be an aroma of negative in certain things that way. And do it with a heart of love. Not that you're mean against them or trying to get even. No, you're concerned for their well-being. And in all this, what is the application of the word? Through a study or usually a message, you try to focus on God. Who is the Lord? What has he done for us? And we can take it in 100 ways. And how does this affect me and how I think about it? And the application for me is John 15, to abide in the vine. And the last verse I want to end up with, we had read just recently. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How do we do that? And that's dying to self. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And with that, I'll close. And if we could sing a song. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. 431. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. I thy true sun, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. 431. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God and Father, we just thank you and praise you. We can come into your presence in boldness and not in fear and trembling through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just joy in and revel in your goodness in our lives and that we can have redemption. We can have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're pricked in our hearts. How can we live to please you, and how that we can examine ourselves and see how that, what am I doing? Have I lived all for you? So, Father, we just thank you for these struggles that we have that make us strong to look to you for strength. I just pray for each and everyone, especially the young people, the children. The struggles before them, the hurts. So Lord, just pray you'd help us to look in our lives in the recesses that are taking our focus off the focus of our life, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray your help in this in Jesus' name. Amen.